Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And we discovered Kyrie Irving is a Sour Patch Kid. First, they're sour sometimes, but really, they're sweet. But more importantly, we're in the building. We are in the virtual crowd tonight in the NBA Finals. But first, Jhené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And we need you to tweet us right now using the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Tell us what we should do as virtual fans in the stands during the game in a few hours. At Jhené, at Mike Golic Jr. So far, I think we got like dance in the stands, eat wings in the stands. We need more suggestions.
Listen, and I offered to take my shirt off because I understand that's what everyone wants. They've gotten used to, especially on two damn Fridays around here, me showing a little more skin than usual. And like, Jhené, I legitimately don't know how we're about to top this in like 10 minutes as we get too damn fried in here. I'm sharing with you guys in a moment of way too much honesty. I hope our bosses have turned off by now. I legitimately thought, like, am I going to have to is a nipple going to have to slip out from me? I put that thought away quickly, but I thought it for a second and I feel bad.
You think you want to have an intentional nip slip? You know, that's what you can tweet at a certain threshold. He will go. We're still here. Let's stay here. Okay, we're still here. Let's stay here. That's our show motto. Okay,
let's stay here, please. I'm so sorry.
I was gonna say something next level, but I'm just gonna take it back to us being virtual fans. Game two tonight, Heat Lakers, and we will get to all the implications for a potential Lakers championship and all that means in about 10 minutes for LeBron James, for the entire company, for the legacy of even Kobe Bryant. But tonight is about the Heat. The Heat, who had, I guess, you know, as I said earlier in game one, they had the AC turned on them, got kind of chilly when it came to the Heat. But instead, they have an opportunity game two. It is a tall task to try to like turn the temperature up. The Heat are the underdogs in this matchup, Junior, but they've been underdogs the entire bubble run. Right. So if there's a team that their strength is not necessarily in their statistics, it's in their mindset. It's the Miami Heat. It's Jimmy Butler, who will still be on the floor. But do you think there's still hope there for game two?
No. And I feel like, and I said, you guys have called me out, and rightly so. I got bullied into Lakers in six by Jimmy Butler and that mindset, because you're right. They haven't gotten here necessarily off the strength of X's and O's. It's been sheer will and the ability and desire to create chaos. Like, it is all of that. And certainly championship pedigree, Jimmy Butler as a leader, and a lot of young guys stepping up to play good basketball helps. But that commitment to chaos, all of those things also are predicated on staying healthy at the right times. And that's one thing that the Miami Heat through this run have had in their favor. We saw this subvert other teams. When you talk about the Clippers' demise, it was intermittent bouts of guys not being around there, guys not necessarily being 100% at
Milwaukee.
Certain points. Milwaukee, in a lot of this instance, who Miami famously ran over in five games in that series. And so you look at all of this and say, as soon as health became a factor on the Miami Heat side, you're not talented enough on the top end to be able to weather this maybe 9 out of 10 times anyway against a team like the Lakers, but surely not shorthanded.
But this is the one area that I think the Heat can succeed at. If it's the you tried the wrong ones type of team, it's the Miami Heat, because their strength is their mindset. Again, talent definitely helps. But if there's a team that can sort of rally behind, look, no one is really counting on us, no one thinks we can actually do this, it's probably, out of anyone, Jimmy Butler in the bubble throughout the course of, you know, this entire bubble run. If you think about their shooters, Tyler Hero, that erupted for 37 when we didn't even know. Duncan Robinson, he has a crazy story, you know, about being a D3 type of player, now making it here. There's some players that, even though they looked it like Tyler Hero in game one and game two, they probably want to redeem themselves. And I speak specifically of those two, Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero. They're shooters. It's not often that both of those guys will go a combined 4 for 21. Duncan Robinson with 0 points. Jay Crowder, he likes the challenges. Like, this is the first team all to smoke out of anyone. So if they can muster that competitive fire and also feel embarrassed for how the switch flipped so quickly after the first quarter. They were up big. They were that team that was up big against the Lakers. And then the Lakers went Lakers. And then the injuries hurt. So if there's a team that can compete just for competing, it's the Heat. And I think that will drive their offense, their ability to make shots. It's literally their confidence that changes the game for them.
Chenin Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. This weekend preview is brought to you by Geico. Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. Visit geico.com for more. And Chenin, you and I both think the Lakers are going to win tonight. At some point, the team that is better going up against a shorthanded outfit in the Miami Heat, that should be the team that goes out there and win. And we'll get to in a couple minutes LeBron James and his reaction to slight, because we had another instance of that pop up. And this guy tends to supernova at this stuff. If you call him out, especially while he's got the grand stage right now, he seems to be the one you don't want to try with that kind of momentum. But if you're looking for momentum for the Heat, what have we said about them already? They've already won. They are King Leonidas and the Mighty 300 going up against an unstoppable force that they know they shouldn't beat. And just by being here, they've already won. And so what have you done after game one? You've given them even less to lose. Now people think even less of you in this. Before, again, they bullied me into giving them six games in all of this. And now you've unhinged them even more with all that. Tyler Hero is the one I circle and underline in all this, because if anyone's got the volatility to be able to affect a game like that, like a 20-25-plus point outing for Tyler Hero is A, not out of the realm of possibility, and B, the kind of thing the Lakers are going to have a tough time accounting for if it happens.
Okay, so if there are ways that they can stumble into a win here, I would say Tyler Hero's volatility, correct. Duncan Robinson not going over and like playing 27 or so minutes and only taking three shots, that's one. Kendrick Nunn coming in the game and quietly giving you 18 points. So when you're losing some top tier, you know, players in the sense of Bam Adebayo, having a Kendrick Nunn coming in and giving you a quiet 20 can help. He'll feel confident stepping into the shoes. Still awaiting the news on Goran Dragic, right? So there's some storylines. Even Myers Leonard, like as great as Bam Adebayo has been, this is a team that they're going up against that has Anthony Davis, JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard, LeBron James. So having a big body in the paint, they might stumble on something that can help them figure out how they can compete better. And then, of course, the best person on the floor when it comes to the Heat is Mr. Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, amongst all remaining players, has led all players in clutch time points. So he is capable when the pressure is on. Now, the pressure is on not just in the fourth quarter, Jimmy. It's on first quarter, in the second quarter, in the third quarter, and the fourth. So if they can have a lot of those subliminal storylines actually show up and stumble on something, that's going to be the best case forward for them.
Yeah, Chenin, I'm glad you brought up Jimmy Butler in this, because he's someone whose performance, we know points-wise, that area of the game, sometimes it's going to wax and wane. We know Jimmy Butler started off the playoff run with that 40-point outing that kind of made everyone who maybe hadn't been watching Heat basketball a year go, oh, well, we could just expect this now in the postseason. That's not exactly how he's going to affect the game overall with that kind of volume. But it is those points. But even him, am I imagining this, or was he even a little bit dinged up in game one on there?
He
saw Jimmy Butler come up a little bit lame at some point. So, like, that's the thing that going into tonight, it's got to be that unbridled Jimmy Butler confidence. Because now you've got a young team going up against a guy in his 10th finals, like has more finals experience than you can shake a stick at in this situation. And so if Jimmy Butler's not displaying that kind of confidence early and they don't see him getting some of those big buckets early, that's an easy way for all the wind to get knocked out of the sails.
What I said earlier was Jimmy Butler has been looking for a home. Well, he's found one now. He's been waiting to be respected, especially as a leader. Well, he finally universally is. He will have to lead and motivate, and that is his biggest strength. But most importantly, he needs to bring his game. Because when you're going up against two certified stars plus shooters that are shooting the ball, like, it's going to be hard. And you need that star that can galvanize, because that's what's going to get the most out of your guys.
All right, well, we're going to see if he's able to galvanize this team again. We will be in the virtual crowd. Coverage of Game 2 on ESPN Radio is starting at 8:30 Eastern.
Which so is make coverage sure, of us, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. Coverage of us, what we're doing, crowd. What we're eating in the crowd. At that point, we know Chinne Agumake out on eating wings in the crowd, or in public in general, I guess, which is very shocking.
No, I'll do it. I'll just say, like, not on the first date. We can't do wings. Also, not seafood. You know, like the boiling crab type of stuff. You can't do that, but...
There's a lot of rules here that I got to keep track of already. You know what? It's like getting to know any new spouse. Like, you've got to kind of understand all the things that go in this situation.
True.
Ears up, and I am learning in this situation. But coming up next, I want to take a look at the other side of this. We're near the end of the marathon. What this means and how the Lakers were able to get here during the most unprecedented season on a number of fronts. We'll get to that next. It's Too Damn Friday on Chenin Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenin Golic Jr., the podcast.
Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Friday. We had more big reveals. I'm not talking about a gender reveal. I'm talking about Mike Golic Jr., who did this in commercial break. He went and got tatted up once again. Lakers in five?
A lot of people don't have the stomach to go back on their original take, Janae. And yes, I went to air with that. Pun intended, everyone in the peanut gallery here. I originally said Lakers in six. I understand that it had gone against my entire ethos for this postseason run. The take has officially been changed to Lakers in five, so saith my gut, courtesy of our producer, Devin, who I'm sure is going to hand in his resignation after having to yet again tattoo my stomach.
I deserve hazard pay. This is getting out of control.
It's a fair point.
I'm just a little concerned about your handwriting, but it's okay. I know it's tough. It's not like, you know, firmly scripted.
No, it's Chinee, I'm not lying. Like, as we get ready for game two of the NBA Finals, and as we get ready to try and talk about, like we just did in the last segment, how the Heat can possibly climb out of what feels like a sizable 1-0 hole that prompted me to make this decision. During the break, Devin was so shook by this entire situation, he legitimately questioned, could he write the number five? He had to write out on a number of paper before he did it on my stomach to try and remember what the number five looked like written down. So everyone shook around here.
In fairness, it looks kind of like the number six. So I guess you're safe there. And let's just start, you know, where we ended. Junior, you said unprecedented season, right? So let's talk about it. Chinee Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. And unprecedented season, you know, leads to an unprecedented champion. You know, that we've had the whole asterisk conversation. Like, should you put an asterisk next to this championship? I don't think so, because in the middle of multiple pandemics and the situations we're in, we've seen the bubble go on pause. This might be one of the most well-respected, in my opinion, championships that athletes have had to endure. And when it comes to, you know, Los Angeles, LeBron James seeking a fourth championship. They're also playing with a purpose, because if you know the jerseys, LeBron, you know, I mentioned, you know, going for his fourth championship, the Lakers, this is a championship. That's the big reason why he chose to come to LA. And the Lakers are wearing the all black Mamba jerseys, you know, paying, you know, respect to the legacy of Kobe Bryant as well. So there's a lot of pressure, especially with them being the favorites. So big picture here, the idea is that, okay, the Lakers are poised to win, but what will that win mean is the topic of, you know, debate. Does this put LeBron James into the greatest category? Does this mean that this is the beginning of a new Lakers run that we are going to see, even though LeBron James is 35? What does Lakers winning another championship mean to you, Junior?
Yeah, I think it means a lot of those things, Janae, but circling back to what you originally mentioned, doing it in the fashion they did this season, because we had a lot of conversation, and I was one of the ones that says, you absolutely put an asterisk on this season. Like, you absolutely put it there, because it's unlike anything we've ever been through, and so many people take that as a slight, saying it is lesser than. And I think, again, Major League Baseball has created a situation where an asterisk is a slight in this. I want to differentiate it, because we've never had to see anything like this. Think about the Los Angeles Lakers before the shutdown. They were playing the best basketball of their season at that point, with a player at the charge and at the helm that is one of the oldest players that we talk about in the league, LeBron James, doing all of this at 35, having to shut down and then restart and try and recapture all of that momentum, and doing it inside the bubble and building to a point where they were playing their best basketball heading into this series. It's exactly what we would expect a team of that caliber to do, but we can't expect anything for certain inside of these circumstances.
Yeah, so I would suggest, because a lot of people use the word asterisk when it comes to these championships in sports right now, given the start, the stop, the complications, the challenges we're seeing in the NFL this week. For the NBA specifically, and likely for the NFL, it's got to be an exclamation mark. Right? Because the champion is a champion that has overcome. And we saw how hard it was. You know, we mentioned the Lakers, but the Bucks were the team with the best record in the NBA. And for the Lakers to still be standing, and the reason why they're there is because they risked it all, kind of. LeBron James goes there after leaving, you know, Cleveland after delivering a championship. Anthony Davis squirms his way out of New Orleans and now is in Los Angeles. And that came with a lot of scrutiny. That came with a lot of questions. And now to see this all come to fruition, you're so close, so close. It's not done yet, because the Miami Heat, like, they, again, they thrive when people count them out. But in the big scheme of things, LeBron James winning his fourth is important. LeBron James winning his fourth in the middle of, you know, social issues and, you know, environmental issues when it comes to California. I'm in California now. So much is going on, and the timing in which it's going on, you add not just what's happening now, but outside the lanes of sports, it's a lot. So LeBron will be looked to the guy as the guy that delivered.
Sorry about that, Janae Gold Jr. here on ESPN sound. Radio. No, but as I slipped up there in this one, what you talked about, the way LeBron is viewed through all of this, because I think that does matter. We've talked so much about his role in everything that's gone on socially. We've talked so much about his role in leading this team through the turmoil of losing someone for him that was a close friend in Kobe Bryant, an icon in that area. And now the context of all this, which we tend to lose sometimes as we go through history, the context of how a championship comes. But I think it's worth resetting for everybody because it is so much that this team had to deal with personally. And you talked about expectations. Anthony Davis, when he came over here, this was the expectation. But listen to him talk about what he expected from his counterpart in LeBron James, as he has become maybe every bit of the alpha on this team. Here he was.
I never crossed my mind when a trade happened. I'm not jealous of him. He's not jealous of me. And I think it shows on the court. I mean, obviously that can always creep in when you got, like you said, two, you know, alpha males in on the same team. But you know, I think when you got two guys who are very selfless and want to win, you know, as bad as both of us want to, the rest of it, you know, goes away and just take care of itself. So, you know, jealousy has never been a thing on our team from anyone. Everyone is extremely excited for the other guy. You know, when guys get awards or, you know, accolades, our team, you know, is the first one to congratulate them. So and we make sure that we bring it up in film or after the game or whenever we see it. But no one is jealous of one another.
And that's going to be the interesting part of this, because he mentioned accolades, and based on the way Anthony Davis played through game one, it's very reasonable to believe he's a guy with a viable chance at, you know, MVP of the finals when this is all said and done. Is there any part of that, Chinee, that would have an effect on the way we perceive this from LeBron's standpoint? Because it's very real. If it keeps up this way, you mentioned, if you're the Heat, do you let Anthony Davis get these kind of numbers? If he accomplishes this in that way, does it do anything to the way that we perceive this for Bron?
Look, people will want to, if Anthony Davis becomes finals MVP, people will use that as ammo in the LeBron, Michael Jordan debate of greatest all time. Jordan has this many finals MVPs. LeBron has this many finals MVPs. There's some, you know, there was a season where LeBron was probably the best player in the finals and he still lost, right? So I sort of eradicate that. And I think that overall, if AD is finals MVP, that means LeBron James won a championship at the age of 35. That means he's likely to possibly win another championship at 36 or possibly even 37. These are the problems that LeBron wants. He wants that version of a debate. He wants people. And also, I think Anthony Davis wants to step into his own shoes. And LeBron James has sort of been there, done that, and said, cool, you get that one, I'm going to get this one. And this one he's focusing on is the big bling, not the small one like my disco ball.
The disco ball that still shows out very much in its own right around here. And I think that's going to be the most interesting to me, Janae, because you mentioned they're set up in theory for the next couple of years. LeBron James led the league in assists this year. He looks like he has no signs of slowing down. And if Anthony Davis is getting this kind of confidence, what becomes interesting is, as LeBron James, if it ever, you know, at this point we have to say if his skill set ever diminishes, how he really starts to look and go about turning over the reins to somebody else would be very interesting to watch in this situation.
Really quick question. Yeah. How do you feel about the Louis V trophy case?
The Louis V trophy case? All about it. Listen, why not? Like, again, go over the top with everything. You see, I just wrote my pick on my stomach, for God's sake. I'm not going to beef
right
about a Louis V case.
Okay.
Is that too much for you? Do you think that's too bougie?
No, the Louis V, hand it to me. Hand it to me. Look, you can keep the trophy. I'll take your case.
There we go.
Repurpose that. I'll repurpose it as like a top and a belt.
You know
some
what?
Shoes.
We can make our case for that in the virtual crowd tonight,
where
we're going to be for game two of the NBA Finals. But coming up next, we got to get you ready for the NFL weekend with another round of End Zone or Friend Zone. We'll tell you who is getting across the goal line next. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Right. I'm so excited for that. But more importantly, we are Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News. Chinay Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr., All-American academically back at Notre Dame. You are a star in my eyes all day, every day. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You know, we talked about virtual fans, which is cool. That's today. It's Friday. It was just too damn Friday. But I'm also looking forward to the weekend because there's so many interesting, intriguing matchups in the NFL. And I feel like it's time to break it all down. But, you know, more importantly, we break up to make up, right? Isn't that what we do here?
We do. We break up to make up. We find our way back home. And here we try and, you know what, help everyone out. Like the most millennial thing possible. I feel like one of the things that really defined millennials was this idea of the friend zone and people finding their way out. We debuted last week on this show our first round of end zone or friend zone, which NFL players to watch going into this weekend that might find pay dirt, or which ones are going to be stuck getting those texts that said, oh, sorry, I fell asleep or I was in the shower or something like that.
Oh, snap. I sent a couple of those this past week.
Oh, God.
I'm glad it's news to you because that means I didn't send it to you. So there you go.
I was going to say, thankfully, this show can still peacefully coexist. But we will find out our first ever round of an NFL player making it out of the friend zone. That's all coming up. Let's get it. What a moving tribute.
I love it. God.
Extra special right there. All right, now that we're in the mood, now that we're feeling
good. The transition was mean. Mm. You heard that? The transition, that was mean and smooth. Okay,
damn.
Sorry.
DJ on the ones and twos. All right, what do we got up first?
Browns at Cowboys.
Browns at Cowboys this weekend, Chinay. And starting this off, I look at the end zone and I say, it's about time we have the Odell Beckham Jr. game, right? In this one, I'm looking for OBJ and the end zone. This is a Dallas secondary that's been nightmarish during the early portion of the NFL season, a defense overall that struggled. The last two games, OBJ's caught four of his six targets in each of those games. In the last game, I believe all four of those targets went for first downs. It's time for them to get him into the end zone. They've leaned heavy into play action, and I think it's going to start paying off for a guy that can still be one of the best receivers in football when given the opportunities.
And for this reason, oh, Lord, what was coming in there?
Oh,
getting a little raspy on the weekend. For this reason, I'm going to sort of go to the friend zone, especially when it comes to Dallas on the other side of the ball with the quarterback and Dak Prescott, because we saw Baker Mayfield finally start getting the engines turned, tapping into his talent. We still have not seen Dak Prescott really do that. And the Cowboys, more importantly, they can't hurt themselves, and it seems like every game they find different ways to do it. The Cowboys have the fourth most penalties, and so they need to win a game, but they need to win a game through Dak. I know he's done some great things so far this season, but also making sure everyone else feels empowered and that they can feel like they have the momentum going forward.
Vikings at Texans.
So we'll stick in the great state of Texas for this one, Chinay. When we look at friend zone or end zone, I know the Houston Texans, your hometown team in this one, both 0-3 teams in this situation trying to get out of the basement. Who do you like, friend zone or end zone in this one?
I have to put my Texans in the end zone. The time is now, okay? Specifically for Deshaun Watson because he got paid. Everyone sees him as a future of the franchise. And they're going up against a Vikings defense that is 29th in passing yards. So the mini slump, the slow start, it's got to end now for us to turn things around. And the Texans, to be fair, have had one of the hardest schedules to start the season. But you can't prolong that too long. So week four, the time is now.
Mr. Randy Watson. And you know what? For that reason, and Deshaun Watson, I got to go on the other side, and I'm saying end zone here. The Minnesota Vikings pass rush in this situation. Deshaun Watson's been sacked 13 times this season already, second most in the NFL behind rookie phenom Joe Burrow. And since the start of the 2018 season, he's been sacked 119 times, the most in the NFL over that span. This is a Vikings pass rush led by their trade acquisition, Yannick Ngakoue, who's trying to get going. They lost a lot this offseason in the way of pass coverage and the pass rush up front with Everson Griffin, Danielle Hunter starting the season on IR. So I look for that group to get a boost against a team that's had trouble protecting their quarterback.
Like, I feel like enough times, like once you hear that stat enough, Texas, we got to protect our main guy, especially after he gets paid. But you know what? Bill O'Brien.
Oh, God. Speaking of which, let's keep it moving.
Bills at Raiders.
Bills at Raiders, Chiney, and this one is pretty simple. This is a tale of work friendship. Christine Lisi, who you're doing the SportsCenter updates around here each and every day, she's become a fixture on the Le Batard Show and is a known Buffalo Bills fan who is also constantly baking for the entire department, who we love dearly, means I have to put Jason Fitz, our neighbor to the north, in the friend zone on this one. Known Raiders fan, supporter of that team, and looking at a situation where I can no longer doubt the Buffalo Bills, Chiney, what they've managed to put on display through the first 3 weeks of the season, last week especially, was dominant. The Bills offensively look like a machine, and for a Raiders team that's so banged up, especially at receiver, they're going up against one of the best, if not the best secondary in football.
And for this reason, I put him in the friend zone last week, but guess what? You crawling out. You're now in the end zone, Josh Allen, in my books, okay? Because he made some history. He's the fourth player in NFL history with at least 1,000 passing yards, 10 passing TDs, and a passer rating of at least 120 in his first three games of a season. So we got to put respect on his name, but more importantly, put respect on the name of the queen, Christine Lisi.
Absolutely. This show and all shows around ESPN should appropriately stand Christine Lisi until the end of time for her contributions to team morale around here. Let's finish it off with the
all
winner.
Right.
Patriots and Chiefs.
This one, for me, Chiney, it should be a great game. But after what we saw Monday night, I'm not really sure I feel comfortable saying that about anyone at this point. And so I'll say it like this. If the Patriots are going to pull off this upset, they're going to have to put Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chiefs in the friend zone. I think when you go back and look at the way teams have had success, certainly it's been well documented. If you've got four guys that can rush the passer as well as, I don't know, the Los Angeles Chargers did when they played the Chiefs, you might have a chance. But if you're looking to disrupt that offense, we've seen teams like the Patriots have success being physical with Travis Kelce near the line of scrimmage, disrupting his role in that offense that's central to what they do. And so if you're going to have a shot, you're going to have to get a guy who had his own reality dating show somehow in the friend zone.
I can't even with you. Which begs, you know, the next prediction of mine. If the Chiefs are going to win, they're going to have to put Clyde Edwards-Helaire into the end zone because the Patriots are going to, we had Marcus Spears talk about it, if they're going to make it hard for Patrick Mahomes to make big plays, take away your biggest strengths, this is a prime opportunity for the rookie to run and to run the ball. And so by running the ball, getting into the end zone, I feel like that's where he will separate himself. And we talked, you know, earlier about young guys having an opportunity to make a name for himself. This is a prime opportunity, especially when the ball is not going to be flying and it might be just taking a pounding through the ground.
And that's such a great reminder of why this Kansas City Chiefs team continues to scare so many people. Mm. It's just like that. You never really have an understanding of where it's going to come from, especially with a back that showed early on, right out of the box in this, that he is a dynamic member of an offense that really didn't need much other help.
Can I give an honorable mention?
Absolutely.
Whoever Stephon Gilmore really has an assignment on, because there's some numbers out there. He's not allowed a completion to Tyreek Hill in those four games in which he, you know, has played him and has been the nearest, I think, competitor. So, like, that matchup will be interesting to see if, you know, him being able to help the Patriots defend. So
it is going to be important. Mention. And I would say we saw DK Metcalf, a different kind of receiver, bigger physical receiver, getting over on Stephon Gilmore in that matchup the last week. And we know he's
bouncing
one of
back.
The best and brightest. So a prime time for a bounce back game. We'll see if we're going to get that tonight in the NBA. Coming up next, we got to keep that same energy as we get ourselves prepped and ready to join some high-profile names in the virtual stands.
The list is long, starting with us, though.
Exactly. It starts with us, and we'll show you where it finishes next. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Hey, we made it. We made it. It's Friday, and we always turn up. Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on ESPN News. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And we asked you guys on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, what should we do as virtual fans game two tonight? And what do we get? Someone told me I should wear a bonnet, a shower cap. Someone told us we should dance, eat chicken wings. What else did you get?
Yeah, I got some really interesting responses, mostly because, and as we've clearly seen today on this show, I'm a little too willing to lift up my shirt in front of a camera. And so I said, how much money, charity money would it take for me to get my shirt off tonight? And most of the offerings were to just keep it on in these situations.
No, so. I'm here to support you all the way through. We are a team here on Chanae and Golic Jr., reminding you to tune into Bloodlines, a three-part podcast written and told by ESPN's Wright Thompson that examines the world of thoroughbred horse racing. Download, subscribe, and review Bloodlines, available wherever you join. You enjoy your podcast. And speaking of podcasts, we have so many, you know, great guests today. Marcus Spears, NFL Live. He told us about how we can look forward to Cam Newton's play Sunday versus the Chiefs. Tall task, but still, this tall task can move. He can run. And I'm excited to see New England's run game led by their quarterback, Antoine Winfield Jr. The whole interview, our conversation with him, the defensive back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who won Defensive Rookie of the Month. Check it all out on our podcast at Chanae, at Mike Golic Jr., our podcast, Chanae and Golic Jr. online, anywhere you listen.
Anywhere that you get it, anywhere you can find it. And listen, we have got a lot we're looking forward to as we get ready for our role in the virtual crowd tonight. We're subbing in admirably for former President Barack Obama. We
Pretty
feel
much.
Like we got the call up after he did in game one. And so let's rock and roll with that same energy. All right, Chanae, let's keep that same energy. I want people to understand exactly what we're dealing with. Game two, you and I are going to be in the virtual crowd. And just read the illustrious guest list that we're
Thank
rocking
you.
With.
We consider ourselves the secret sauce of the ESPN radio lineup. And this is the secret sauce, joining the ranks of LL Cool J, Fat Joe, Timbaland, Rick Ross, Macy Gray, Bad Bunny, Ozuna, D-Nice, DJ, Schoolboy Q, Corday, shout out to Naomi Osaka, Chloe and Halle, Joe LaPuma, Jamie Foxx, Anthony Anderson, who watches our show, by the way. I know this. Tracy Ellis Ross, Chloe and Halle, Jay Ellis, Marseille Martin, Road to Me. Shout out to Nyjah, Nyjah Independence Day, Richard Sherman, Tyrod Taylor, Iman Shumpert, Sue Bird, W, Desus, nice, Desus Amiro, and then our friend, Victoria Arlen, as well.
Wow. All right, we're in here deep. This is going to be a fun crowd. We're going to try to have to just, you know, get in where we fit in this one. I hope we're seated next to each other. But I have a feeling we're going to fit in just fine.
Who are we trying to shoot our shot with, though? Like, if we can talk to people?
I feel like we got to try and get Desus Amiro on the show, right? They feel like they would fit in with what we do around here. They feel like they'd be guys that we could
what?
Trust.
I mean,
with.
I love them. I'm here for them. Timbaland, LL Cool J. Like.
You know what? We're going to have to just do some. You know what? It's like a networking event tonight. We're going to try our best to bring some people back to the
Everybody.
Show around here and get it going around here. So. In keeping that same energy, I also want to take some time to shout this out quickly right here because it was insane. This was a Salt Lake Tribune sports article. Head coach Gary Anderson said of Utah State players who might opt out, quote, at least in our program, we don't have an opt out, and it's not an option. If you opt out, you're not with us. I'm going to need further explanation on this one because as our colleague Ryan McGee pointed out on Twitter, he has changed employers 8 times since 2000. Coaches who do and say this stuff never understand how bad it looks, not that they care. So keep that same energy in looking at this situation where players opting out because of their worries about a global pandemic shouldn't be something that has judgment on.
And I'm just going to take it literal. Like, duh, if they opt out, they're not with you. Don't read too much into it besides health and safety and helping your fellow, you know, citizen. Bruh, what?
It should be that easy.
I need that sound on the system, bro. What?
What is you doing?
Take that back. Rewind that back. What is you doing, baby?
Speaking of sounds and wondering what someone's doing, Chanae, be very
gosh.
Curious at this one. I saw this on KentuckySportsRadio.com. There was some questions. Lane Kiffin, now the Ole Miss head coach, got ready to go for this week's matchup on a teleconference call. We see this Zoom conference calls, all these things
that pop up.
You're doing other things. When a moderator called, and this is from KentuckySportsRadio.com, when a moderator called on Ole Miss head coach Lane Kiffin, he didn't immediately respond. There was some rustling followed by silence. After that, he was interrupted by the sound of a toilet flushing. He said, quote, we have a challenge playing a really good team, a very physical, runs the ball really well, played great defense last year, and in the first game, limited explosive plays, flush. Right after explosive plays. As a team, so a lot at stake here, need to play well. Now, we're not sure if that flush came from somebody else that was on the Zoom. We're not sure if that flush came from Liam Kimmon. But it's a reminder to everybody, and it feels weird, Chanae, that we got to say this at this point. Have your microphone on mute when you're not talking on Zoom.
Look, that's the best thing about Zoom. You can mute yourself. You can get technical difficulties whenever you need to. Especially when you're using the bathroom.
Like, that's just not what you need.
That's the number one rule.
at the same time. Lane Kiffin doing
it. You get it?
I am not going to make a number two rule joke about Odell Beckham Jr. I am not going to do that as we march into the rest of this Friday. And reminder, again, everyone, ESPN Radio, you're going to hear our coverage of the NBA Finals. Game two, you're going to see it. And you're going to see us in the virtual crowd. But Spain and Fitz are coming up next here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.